opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good morning, sovereign minds, independent thinkers. We're in the great city of Reading and the great state of Jefferson. We've got a special show today. We're going to pick apart Measure A. But before we get there, I want everybody to grab a pen and a piece of paper. I want you to go to safeshasta.com. And I want you to scroll down and hit the one about the tax. That's a big word. I can't remember it. Before we get to that, I want to give a special shout out to my Uncle Rex. He turns 101 years old today.
Wow.
Not today. January 11th. He was a veteran from World War II. He still lives on his own. And happy birthday, Uncle Rex.
You know, happy birthday to him, and thank you for your service, Uncle Rex.
He never had a bad word to say about anybody. He never had a bad habit, and he's just the wonderful person we would all want for our father or grandfather or uncle or whatever. So,
but before you get started, we probably should do some introductions. This is Sovereign Mind Radio, and in the studio today we have Red's back for today to help us out, and we've got Ashley.
Good morning.
Wonderful producer in there. So.
Morning.
Good morning. So.
And I'm Nick Gardner.
And I'm Linda Kent.
So, here we are. You want to go right to, or do you have some announcements?
I do not. Maybe we should let... Oh, we have a caller on the line. Sorry, I couldn't see. We've got Jimmy on the line. Let's go ahead with Jimmy. Good morning, Jimmy.
So, here we are.
Jimmy, you're on the air.
Yeah. Hey. Nick, I told Nick and Red and Linda, I told Mark I'd call in this week to update him on the that ballot thing I was talking about.
Oh, yes, about how you had to register to get the proper ballot.
Well, yeah, because apparently the DMV messed up, and apparently people were unregistered from their registered parties.
Mm-hmm.
So say if you were a Republican, all of a sudden you were not registered as a Republican anymore. And apparently, Nick, from what I understand, you got one of these?
Oh, yes.
Through the mail. They sent these registration forms out through the mail, and the only four parties on there is Nonpartisan, American Independent, Democratic Party, and Libertarian Party. So, like I said, I just wanted to call in because I told Mark I was going to. So everybody out there, you might want to go double-check. Make sure that you're still registered. On top of that,
Jimmy, if you didn't turn one of those in, your ballot would not have a presidential candidate on it.
Yeah, by January 3rd, right?
That's right.
Yeah,
so you get a hold of the clerk's office, Jimmy?
Yeah, I went down there, and like I was saying, they were, you know, they were very cordial. They if you if at the clerk's office, they had the forms there that had the Republican Party on there. So you could have filled it out there, but it just seems odd that they, you know, magically lost people's party affiliation and then sent these flyers out with only four parties on them.
And did they say anything about that? I mean, did they, you know, because they weren't, all the parties weren't on the ballot?
No. They basically told me that, you know, you could fill this out, this one out right here. And that's pretty much where it ended. So
interesting.
They didn't make any excuses. They, you know, didn't try to candy coat it or nothing, but they didn't, you know, I don't know how to say it. They didn't, like they didn't candy coat it. So
I'm not even sure Trump's going to be on the ballot. Has anybody heard anything about that? I know they were demanding his tax returns, and if he didn't come up with him, he wasn't going to be on the California ballot. And that reminds me,
that was actually struck down.
Yeah, I was going to say that fell through.
Why are we demanding the tax returns from a billionaire that became a politician and not a politician that became a millionaire? Every show ought to start with that.
Yeah. All right, folks, I just wanted to shoot that out there to you.
All right, we appreciate that, Jimmy. Thanks for calling in.
We're going to be stirring the pot, Jimmy, so feel free to call back if you want to. Do you guys want to go on? I've got a letter to the editor I want to read here.
Well,
okay,
I think
guys.
We're...
Bye.
All right. Bye, Jimmy. Thanks a lot. How close are we to a break? Oh, we've got a few minutes for a break. So is there anything you want to put in on that, Red, about the ballot or anything?
The ballot thing really is going to be kind of in limbo with what they're doing and what is legal. California is trying to do all kinds of things. As Gavin Newsom recently said, California is the most anti-Trump state in the union and will continue to do so. And, you know, all through California doesn't care about the Constitution, the law, or really even what's right or wrong. They'll do whatever they want to continue the quote-unquote progressive movement in California, which is, we might as well just call it what it blatantly is communism.
That's true. And with that, we do have a caller on the line. We've got Steve. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Linda.
Hey.
How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Very well. I received one of those ballots as well, and I kind of wanted to explain it a little bit.
Okay.
There are certain parties that do not allow basically what they call a crossover vote, so the Republican parties don't allow that. Now, the American Independents, the Libertarians, and Democrats do. So if you were no party preference like myself, you were offered the opportunity to get one ballots for the primary. And in doing so, you could vote for one of those three parties. Now, if you wanted to vote for the Republican item, then you would have to re-register because they don't allow a crossover.
Interesting. I did not know. I knew I had to re-register because I hadn't selected a party. And I was,
correct.
You know, and so a few years back, I had to re-register as a Republican, which I thought, well, this isn't right. You know, I should be able to be registered whatever party I prefer and still receive all the information and the ballots.
Well, that's
right.
What a lot of the flap is about the people who automatically re-registered or registered at the DMV, either through motor voter or through the registration. Apparently, DMV's computers or whatever accidentally started deregistering Republican members as no party affiliation.
I will say that when I do go to re-register as a Republican, apparently they couldn't find my signature, but I'm pretty sure if I was trying to register as one of the other parties that they would have found my signature, so they were making me jump through additional hoops. So they're not sure as the driven snow, but the information that's been going out over the airwaves is kind of special for the primary, and it does not necessarily mean they were leaving the Republicans off. Republicans have different rules for their primary.
All right. Well, we appreciate you calling in, Steve.
All right. Thank you very much.
Good to hear from you, Steve.
Yeah. We appreciate that, all the clarity we can get on that, because I know a lot of people are confused, and it doesn't seem right to me exactly how they're doing it. But
well, it basically anymore is, if you look at what is going on, and a lot of the California Republican Party is just taking their 13 pieces of silver from the Democratic Party to be allowed to exist anymore. It's an illusion of
there is no party Republican Party
in California.
Yeah.
There is no
really
Republican
in California
party
anymore. Yeah.
You know, we've got a couple of mouthpieces that say the right words and then go and do what the Democrats want.
Yeah. So, I think with that, we'll go to a break, and then when we get back, Nick, we'll go ahead and start off with your letter. How's that work?
That sounds wonderful. Sounds
all right. Good. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM, your talk radio for the North State.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
SST Oil on Windham Lane in Reading, your source for specialty fuels and oils, including kerosene and low-sulfur fuel oil. They feature Toyotomi heating systems and on-demand water heaters. Save $100 on a new Toyotomi home water heater and ask about special savings for residents affected by the car fire. Locally owned SST Oil, supporting the community through summer fires and winter snows. Stay warm and cozy with Toyotomi and SST Oil. 241-1167. 241-1167.
Our title sponsor for North State Now is the Reading Civic Auditorium. The Reading Civic Auditorium brings a wide variety of shows to the North State. Go to ReadingCivic.com and join their mailing list for free. Get early access to tickets and first dibs on the best seats in the house. Grab a drink with friends at the fully stocked bar or locally roasted coffee. Snacks and other beverages at the River Rock Cafe. If you want to know about the best concerts coming to the North State, go to ReadingCivic.com to learn more.
Come on in to Black Bear Diner, where the portions are bear-sized and the service makes you feel at home. With breakfast served all day, anytime's right to dig into our one-of-a-kind sweet cream pancakes, Bear Benedicts, or generous sides of thick-cut bacon and tantalizing sausage patties, house-made from our signature recipe. Whenever you do breakfast, do it at Black Bear Diner, because around here, every plate comes with heaping helpings of happiness.
Black Bear feels like home.
I'll tell you what they're going to do. They're going to laugh at them because there's no place to put them in jail. That's what the bad boys are going to do. They're going to say, what you going to do, copper? Anyway, hey, I didn't
hear
the cops. They do the best they can. Hey, listen, this is a letter from Bill Gundy. This was written probably about a month and a half ago. And I'm going to read it. Have patience because, well, you're dealing with the handicapped here. According to a recent Record Searchlight article, a community group wants to place a 1 cent sales tax increase initiative on the November 19 ballot, the proceeds from which would ostensibly be used to improve public safety. Now, this isn't the one we're talking about. That's the city of Reading. Reading residents are absolutely fed up with not being able to walk on trails, go shopping, visit the library or parks, operate a business, or drive through downtown without feeling threatened or at the very least sickened by the filth, the trash in our public areas. They're tired of transients rifling through their garbage, tossing syringes in the parks and green belts, fouling our rivers, and stealing anything that's not nailed down. That pretty much describes Reading, folks. So why did a few vote for a half-cent sales tax increase in 2016 that targeted the same safety and quality of life concerns? I believe it's because many, like myself, this is Bill Gundy, are not convinced that the money will be spent in areas that are adequately address the issue. Adding more police seems to be the forefront of discussions on how the new revenue should be used. Though we could certainly use more police officers in Reading, there are two reasons why I wouldn't want to see a large chunk of new tax money dedicated to hiring more. The first reason is that adding to the police force will do little to get criminals off the street. Without adequate jail space, they are usually back out in a matter of hours. Moreover, if the DA doesn't have the staff to prosecute these criminals, the jail remains a revolving door. Through mental health programs, drug rehab, sobering centers, and shelters are part of the equation for improving safety and quality of life. Our first priority should be to hold criminals accountable for their crimes. Exactly my thoughts there. This means adding jail space and DA staff should take precedence over adding police officers. The second reason I won't support using sales tax money to pay for additional police is my concern over the city's future financial health. Reading is joined by numerous California cities in a black hole of unfunded debt driven by the ballooning pension costs of police and fire personnel. If we continue to feed the appetite of public safety unions, it won't be long before we need yet another tax increase just to maintain the status quo. Accordingly, increasing the current staffing levels for police and fire personnel should be predicated on the city unions reaching agreement on less expensive benefit packages for new hires. The cost of city Reading's police and fire protection is staggering. Even in comparison to other cities, Anderson taxpayers, for example, pay an average $60,000 less in salary and benefits than Reading taxpayers pay for rank-and-file police officers. That pretty well sums it up. So let's go on to Measure A. I hope you went to and found SafeShasta.com. If you scroll down quite a ways to 3.14.50, Specialty Tax Expenditure Plan, number 5, the Expenditure Plan, and if you look, you'll see a 50 over there says Correctional Program. This is where we're going to start, and I'm reading from the report right here. Bill Gundy, that was a very good letter, and I agree with you. Okay, Correctional Program, 50% of the revenue is going to go to the correctional program. And here is what it's for. Jail construction program subcategory. Construction, repair, renovation, and maintenance of existing county jail and adult detention facilities, as well as future county jail and adult detention facilities. Listen to that now. Construction, repair, renovation, and maintenance of existing county jail. Now, aren't we already paying for that?
Yes, we are.
So, yeah. So why is some of this tax going to what's already existing? It seems like a sneaky way of going in the back door and taking some money here and replacing it there.
Well, it doesn't sound like they want to build a new jail. In that sentence?
Essentially, I think this is a game of three-card Monty, because if you read how the revenues are to be determined and spelled out, it's not even within the control of the county of how this tax revenue is going to be spent.
I don't think they even have any idea what they're going to come up with as far as jail beds go.
If Red is correct, it doesn't matter what they come up with, because the state's going to tell them how the money is distributed and where and how.
Well, read that. I'm not I'm not convinced
I'm here at 3.14.040, contract with the state. One, prior to the operative date, the county shall contract with the California Department of Tax and Fee Administration to perform all functions incident to the administration and operation of this transaction and the use tax ordinance, provided that if the county shall not have contracted with the California Department of Tax and Fee Administration, prior to the operative date, it shall nevertheless do so contract. In such a case, the operative date shall be the first day of the first calendar quarter following the execution of such a contract. Payment for the costs of contracting with the California Department of Tax and Fee Administration for administration of the tax shall be a responsibility of the county. If the election is successful, the county shall be reimbursed for any fee charged by the California Department of Tax and Fee from the proceeds of the tax. They're going to get a tax to hire the state to determine how the money is and then use the tax money to pay the state to administer how they're going to determine the use of this tax.
Well, everybody wants a piece of the pie, don't they?
Certainly do.
I hadn't read that part. So anyway, 50% of the revenue that they estimate will be raised by a 1 cent countywide sales tax, which is $31 million, 51% of the revenue will go to the correctional program. Half of that, which is $15.8 million, is going to go for jail construction program and Okay, number two, jail operations subcategory. Operating of existing county jail and adult detention facilities as well as future county jail and adult detention facilities include, but not limited to, the hiring and training of staff, the providing of inmate food, services, and inmate health care. 40% of the correctional program. So that is 90% that's being used for that. And what is adult detention facilities?
And who's going to be the overseer in charge of that?
Yeah, who's going to own the adult detention center? Is that going to be something that's owned and operated by the county? Is that going to be somebody that this tax administration fee is going to privately contract and outsource to somebody?
Maybe it's going to be Michael Johnson's life center. Remember the navigation center he was wanting to build? It was going to be how many beds? Not too many. 120 beds, 60 would be custodial, and 60 would be no restrictions. And this was going to be an alternative to jail. Ashley, when we get done with our break, would you queue up number one after
They're
the break?
Ready when you are.
Okay, well, just put, can you?
Yes, they exist when you're ready.
Right after the break. That's what we'll start off with. So anyway, you know, there's a lot of gray area where this money is going to go. And then there's the alternative to county incarceration program subcategory. 10% of the money is going to go to this. Alternatives to detention or confinement in county jail and adult detention facilities, including, but not limited to, home detention with the electronic monitoring or GPS, work furlough programs, work release programs, and contracts to commit persons to other adult detention facilities out of the area. That's what Patrick Jones is so high on. I'm high on that too, but,
And that's to ship them out of state because they can house them cheaper.
Yeah, but if that's such a good alternative, why haven't we been doing that?
Because nobody's been holding their feet to the fire. They've just been doing whatever they want.
But I wanted to get back
level,
to this.
County level?
I wanted to get back to this home detention. I know a guy. I went to school with him, and he started using methamphetamine. We have been friends for 20 years, but he pled no contest to arson. And he wound up with, I think it was 90 days home detention over at Mommy's house. Well, he got a job helping remodel a motel down in Red Bluff. He called them up and asked him if he could do that. And they said, yeah, go ahead. Now, how is that punishment for burning down a house? You know, and then you've got these ankle monitors for probation so they can keep track of them. They just cut them off and go on and...
Again, who's overseeing it? Who is the one that's enforcing that? Who's looking at that? Well, if nobody is doing anything about it, they'll just keep going, in my opinion, keep going the way they're going with that stuff. Why not?
It appears to me nobody's really paying too much attention.
Exactly.
That's why we need a new jail. Ashley's ready for a break.
Yeah.
Take her off.
If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
Oh, no. Yes, I've been black, but when I come back,
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Redding.
Aloha, this is Kevin, operations manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price and after a few months realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868, 221-5868, MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons Senior Living. I want to share some thoughts from local 53-year teaching icon Phyllis Hutchinson about her experience living here at River Commons.
Absolutely. Fell in love with everything about the facilities here. The kitchen crew is awesome. The meals are wonderful. I find it interesting as I look around the dining room how every table seems pleasantly happy. I mean, they're not just sitting there eating. There's conversation. I mean, everybody here, everyone that works here has treated me like I am special. I mean, it's just amazing.
Call today for a tour or lunch in a tour and see for yourself why our residents, just like Phyllis, love living here. River Commons Senior Living, 301 Hartnell, or check us out on the web, river-commons.com.
You from Reading in the great state of Jefferson. Are you ready to queue up number one, Ashley?
Well, I think we have a caller on the line. We probably need to get to our caller.
Terry?
To Terry. And also, we did have somebody call in regards to addressing the homelessness in the area. And we will try to get to that. It kind of all goes hand in hand. So, you know, crime, homelessness, I mean, there's all different aspects of it. So we did get your message. I just wanted the caller to know that. And with that, we'll go to Terry. Good morning, Terry.
Hey, excellent program, you guys. Really good job. Red made some great points. And, you know, I think that what should be done here is I think it would be fair to have 2 hours, at least, on Carl Bott's program during the week to bring up some of this stuff and bring it to light. Apparently, a lot of the people that are just, oh, we need to vote yes on this thing, have not read it.
Mm-hmm.
They don't understand where the money's really going. They haven't been given the facts. They're only going through ambiguous answers that they're getting when they do ask questions. And, oh, by the way, two quick things. One is this particular measure is locked in concrete. You cannot change it. I know that it's been mentioned on the radio on certain programs that you can offer your opinion. No, I'm sorry. According to several supervisors, including Mr. Morgan, this thing is already off and running. Your opinion doesn't matter. It's bad law. What should be done is it should be not put on the ballot.
Correct.
It shouldn't be something we spend taxpayer money on, and it should be something that they redo, first of all, with a forensic audit, to make sure there is no activity that is either illegal, criminal, or inappropriate. So those are some of the things that have to be brought up. And 1 hour on Carl Bott's program during the week is not enough to bring this up. I think that a lot of people who are for this tax have not heard what you guys have said so far in this program. And I just want to encourage you. In fact, I think it would be a good idea, Nick, you might want to bring Red on that program with you. So anyway, just thank you for what you're doing here. Thank you for bringing this to light. And I'm looking forward to hearing what else you guys have to say. But I would really think that people need to make sure that Nick and whoever else he brings on, maybe Red, that they have the opportunity to really bring this thing to light, and not just with a few little Q&As and things like that that an hour program does. This is a big deal, and we need to start treating things like adults, not things that are meaningless or doing things because we have we don't want to ruffle someone's feathers, and we want a little place of our in our community here.
I understood you were going to be on the radio with me, Terry. So with that, thanks for calling, buddy.
Sure.
And with that, as we dig into this, and Red's doing most of the digging over there on Measure A, I just want to put out there in regards to some of the things that Terry said, that do people realize that the money that is collected goes to administration fees first, and then whatever is left over, then will go towards public safety or the jail or whatever. But it goes to them first. So how much is going to be left over if it passed anyway? And with, you know.
Yeah, there is no breakdown of what they even think, quote unquote, administrative costs, which will be paid prior to any funds being released for the public safety programs are. They're not saying a percentage, a per annum amount, just that all administrative costs to the state, to contract, to the county,
right,
to the state controller, the county auditor, controller, to all of these different agencies, including the oversight board and the cost of the oversight board, will be paid prior to any money going to
So again, if they're not held accountable and they run out of money at that level, oops.
And people need to realize what they mean when they say any tangible personal property for storage or uses purchased in the county. That's anything, 1%. I'm sitting here, I'm kind of looking up a couple of things. I'm not sure this doesn't mean property, like your home.
Ah, that's interesting. And with that, we'll get – go ahead.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
It definitely covers vehicle and aircraft sales.
That's what they're going to tax, a one-cent tax on all that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Any tangible property.
Well, that's okay. That's what I assumed. Let's get on with
broad.
Reading the proposition, the Measure A. Now, we just covered 51% of the revenue, which is $15.8 million of the $31 million. 32% of the revenue will go to public safety programs.
But that's after the administrators get their cut, correct?
I don't know.
Yes.
I know that. They've got the numbers right here. Unincorporated county program category, law enforcement, police protection, and emergency services, including but not limited to fire protection. So whatever they do, you know, they might decide a new jet boat's emergency service. Provided by the County of Shasta, contract or otherwise for the unincorporated area of the county. So that'll be 12% of it. Program subcategory. This is where that 12% is going to go for the county, $3.8 million. 80% will go to hiring and training of staff by the Shasta County Sheriff's Office for law enforcement and program protection. Program subcategory, obtaining equipment by Shasta County Sheriff's Office. 10% of that $3.8 million will go to that. And program subcategory, providing emergency services, but not limited to fire protection, 10% will go to that. Now, you know, I have been told that the unincorporated areas of Shasta County, that would be anything besides the city of Redding, the Shasta Lake City, and Anderson, that's unincorporated, they don't feel like they're being represented with this Measure A. I talked to a gal from Fall River Mills, and she told me, she says, I don't think we're going to vote for it. There's nothing up here for us. And she says, we have a problem up here. And I can certainly understand that. Mm-hmm. You know, most of this money is going to stay down in here. And although a bunch of new sheriffs, deputy sheriffs, would help, but it's right back to the same old thing. It's arrest and release.
Right.
Where are we going to put them? My position is we need a jail. And this doesn't address that. We've got a phone.
We do have a caller on the line. We've got Chris. Chris, you want to weigh in on this?
Yeah.
What you got?
Just sitting back and just listening to everything from the distance and how this has been put together. We've seen this movie before, and it was the lottery in the California schools.
Absolutely.
They're going to create a bureaucracy that's going to gobble up such a large portion of this that none of it's going to come back. And we're going to be held accountable for the administration costs and responsibility of taking care of all this. What happens when you have a downturn in the economy and you don't have the sales tax revenue that's
exactly
coming in? Then you got to cover all the expenses that have been developed to monitor this crap.
Well, Chris, the argument against that Joe Comente makes is that this is a specific tax, and it's got to pass by two-thirds of the voters. And if it passes by two-thirds of the voters, by law, this money can't be used for anything except what it's specified. But, you know,
after the administration cost.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
What it says.
And what
I... that you hit the nail on the head. There's going to be so much gobbled up in expenses that it's not going to accomplish anything close to what we think it's going to accomplish.
I couldn't agree with you more, Chris. That's my point, and that's why I'm here reading this. And, you know, like I said to start with, maintenance, renovation, and maintenance of existing county jail. To me, that's a backdoor way of taking some old money out and replacing it with this new money.
Exactly.
And I agree
right
with you, Chris, about the tax base. With everybody leaving, and have they looked at how much of that's going to leave and who's left to pay the tax if it passes? So you're not going to
Sure they have looked at that. That gives them the hand of... That gives them the opportunity to put their hand into our current dollars and taking those away also.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And I find it very apt how you mentioned the lottery and how the lottery works, because here's the shell game that the California State Lottery plays with the money, is they actually allocate those funds to public education as they're supposed to, but they allocate them to the general fund of public education.
Sure.
Then
exactly
they cut public education
up on all their pensions and all their retirement.
Right.
There it is.
The golden handcuffs that every, you know, the golden parachutes. It's crazy what it costs. You know, I've brought this up I don't know how many times, and I've done it in front of the council and all that. I have yet to understand why a city of this size has to eat the expenses of garbage trucks, street sweepers, and school buses. That could be contracted out, and the legacy expenses that go along with these programs are enormous.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So then if we had a forensic audit, we would be able to know more about what is being paid out and where.
If we did
and
a
what
forensic audit in this county, we would need more jail space.
Well, exactly. The thing is, they don't want us to know where the money's going, where it's getting wasted.
Right. They just want us to throw more money at whatever they want for themselves.
That's right.
And back to what you mentioned about... And I'm in agreement also with Patrick Jones as far as shipping out some of the convicts and having them stored somewhere else. There's one reason that will never happen, and it's the public unions.
That's
the
right.
Public employment and the incarceration unions, you'll never see anything happen like that.
No, you won't.
Those are probably the most corrupt unions in the state.
Oh, I have no doubt about that.
Well, thanks, yeah. Chris. Thanks for calling in.
Oh, you're welcome, Nick. You guys have a good day.
All right. Thanks, Chris. We appreciate it.
I'd say he smacked that nail right on the head.
We're going to move on here. Now, the lady up in Fall River who wouldn't vote for this and said the majority of them wouldn't vote for this, she said, you go down to Bernie and walk up Bernie Creek, and I'm told there's a homeless encampment up there. The last few times I drove through Bernie, I see some of these adults with black hoodies on riding little kids' bicycles. And, I've got a deal in here. Maybe we'll get to it. They caught a couple guys up there, but about 50 years old, stealing copper out of a decommissioned cogeneration plant. They had 500 pounds worth of copper. Do you think they held those guys in jail? You know, I had a thought that why couldn't, if we pass the tax that I'm proposing, and we're going to get to that. Why couldn't we have a pod, a holding cell up in Bernie to where, you know, they arrested those two guys. They've got to drive them all the way down here to Reading and book them. They could have a holding cell up there, and they could arrest half a dozen in the morning and drive them on in the evening. When somebody's driving from Bernie or Fall River with a criminal, that's one less deputy that's on the streets up there, and they probably only got one deputy. But that's just a thought to where we could appease the people up there, and they would feel like they're getting something out of a tax.
And with that, we need to go to a break. I'm getting the sign. If you want to call in, again, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
And that's us, taking care of business.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. We bring you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites.
You'll hear from experts on national security, the environment, veterans affairs, world politics, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your John Deere Ag and Turf products.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. wethepeopleradio.us.
The McConnell Foundation wishes all active military, their families, and our local veterans who have served happy holidays. This is Shannon Phillips, Vice President of Operations for the McConnell Foundation. This time of year, Americans are serving our nation in places far from home, as they have every holiday season in our country's history. Let's remember as a community the sacrifices our men and women in uniform have made and will continue to make. The McConnell Foundation salutes our active duty and veterans by wishing you happy holidays.
I expected to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right? So I reached out, and I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to maketheconnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
The Reading Rancheria Senior Nutrition Program provides socialization, transportation, and free meals to eligible Native American elders and their spouses. Our program celebrates Native elders through cultural activities, entertainment, exercise, and education. Elders can dine together here and will deliver meals to those who are unable to attend. The Reading Rancheria Senior Nutrition Program is free. Discover the services available to you or your elders at readingrancheria.com.
And we're here, we're taking care of business.
We're trying to inform people out there exactly what's going on with this Measure A.
Well, yes, and here we're going to move on to 16% of this $31 million tax, 1 cent sales tax, will go to the city of Reading. That's $4.9 million. 1.8% will go to Anderson, and 1.8% will go to Shasta Lake City. That's a half a million each. And they're all the same, what they can be spent on, so I'm going to read them to you. Hiring and training of staff by the Shasta County Sheriff. Oh, that's the county. Here it is. City of Reading program category. Law enforcement, police protection, and emergency services, including fire protection, but not just limited to that. provided by the City of Reading. Category, hiring and training of staff for law enforcement and police protection. 80% of the money goes to that. Obtaining equipment for law enforcement and police protection, 10% of that $4.9 million will go to that. Providing emergency services. Okay, but here's the clicker. The City of Reading, after notice and public hearing, may, by resolution and majority vote, by majority vote of the Reading City Council, that's 3 out of 5, modify any percentage allocations for this program, subcategories in this program. Where state law may require a supermajority vote of the City Council, the provisions of state law shall prevail. The City of Reading is not authorized to alter the percentage allocation from the program category. So basically, you know, and the City of Reading has already talked about, well, we could take this money and we could put another fireman on each engine, and all the engines would have 3 firemen. Well, that's a good thing, but the fact is they can alter it any way they want by a majority of the City Council.
Right.
And they're selling this as it's set in concrete. This is all the money can be spent for. You know, providing emergency services. Well, what could that be? Could that be methadone clinics?
That's exactly what medication-assisted treatment facility means, is a methadone clinic.
Obtaining equipment for law enforcement and police protection. Well, you know, I don't know. That could be a number of things also. Now, the criminal justice program is going to get 13.8% of the $31 million. 90% is going to be hiring and hiring. The district attorney will get $1.9 million to hire more prosecutors. The public defender will get $1.3 million. Probation is going to get $800,000. You know, didn't probation just have an excess of over $1 million last time?
So, and they need more money?
And the backlog is not the lack of lawyers. It's the lack of courtrooms and judges to prosecute all of this.
Yeah, which it's not mentioned anywhere in there far as
goes. People saying that, oh, this can't be altered, this is how these expenditures are, I want to read you something very quickly. The Shasta County Board of Supervisors, after notice and public hearing in which they'll ignore you, may, by resolution and unanimous vote of all members of the board, modify any of the percentage allocations assigned among the programs in the program categories. It's right there in black and white, a vote of the board, and they can change anything that they're doing
with
this revenue. It says it right there.
To expend it any way that they want.
Mm-hmm.
Without the public having anything to do with it.
Well,
once again,
they should give notice and hold a public
hearing. But that doesn't mean
that
yeah, we know how that goes with the Board of Supervisors.
And
otherwise, we wouldn't be talking about this, because the measure wouldn't be on the ballot if they would have done that originally. Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then this oversight committee that they're putting together is quite interesting.
Oh yes.
Because it will be selected by the Board of Supervisors to serve a term determined by the Board of Supervisors, and it shall include 2 people selected by the Reading City Council, 2 people selected by the Anderson City Council, 2 people selected by Shasta County, and 1 person from a non-governmental organization of the Board of Supervisors choosing.
And they don't do it. They can't do anything either.
Do you suppose they're going to select you and Dale Ball?
Doubt it.
You know, they're going to pick their buddies.
That's exactly.
And how much is that costing the county?
Well, here's one that really gets me. Now, they've got $31 million coming in. We need jails we need jail space right away, in my opinion. The county is authorized to issue bonds payable from the proceeds of the special tax to finance capital outlay, I assume, for their you know, I mean,
so,
how long does it take to set up to sell bonds? I mean, you're talking a year.
So this actually authorizes the county to purchase bonds of debt against supposed future revenue from this tax.
Yes, that's what it says.
That
today
ought to terrify the living hell out of you.
Well, it's my opinion that they're going to sell bonds to finance their capital outlay. Let's say it's a building. And then over the years, they're going to pay it back with interest. And it's going to take 2 or 3 or 4 years to get it financed, to get the architectural plans going, to get the damn thing built. And in the meantime, we're overrun with criminals.
So basically what we're looking at is an initiative that would authorize the county to take out loans against future revenue from a sales tax that will be administered by the state of California, which we will pay for, which the outlay that we are allowed to determine for ourselves can be altered by a vote of the Board of Supervisors at any time, but will be overseen by a committee of the choosing of the Board of Supervisors.
That has no teeth.
Man, that tail don't even have a dog. It's just all tail wagging.
Well, you know, we're going to have a civil conversation, I think, Terry and I, and maybe you, Red, with Joe Comente. And he deserves a chance to defend himself on this.
We've got Terry back on the line. Are you there, Terry?
I am. I just wanted to add in on that. I don't know if you guys covered it or not because I was sort of in between here. But the people that they want to bring in on this, quote, quote, Citizens Committee, Oversight Committee is a sham. And we had mentioned that to Joe Comente and to Mr. Morgan, that it was a sham because, as you guys were saying, it has no teeth. Not only does it have no teeth, there's no jurisdiction.
Right.
They can't tell you how to spend the money. It's a bunch of baloney.
They can't do anything.
It is something that is completely ridiculous, and it's an appeaser is all it is. The other thing is that when we look at this thing, according to Mr. Morgan, this whole jail thing and this stuff and anything being built won't get done for 2 years yet. It won't even be done for 2 years. And on top of that, as you had mentioned, Joe Comente said there's $31 million. Well, our new sheriff-to-be the other day on the radio on Carl Bott's show said it would be about $36 million. And when I talked to Mr. Morgan, his comment was, gosh, you know, it may only be $14 million if there's a downturn in the economy. If you're not really upset or pissed off that this thing is even going on the ballot,
again,
there's something wrong with you.
Well, that's the point, Terry. It doesn't have to go on the ballot. That's right,
and it's taxpayer money, Nick. It's our money. Also, we had a flyer that was printed up. It was brought to our meeting when we had Joe Comente and Mr. Morgan come in. When these two guys came in, they had a flyer with them, and this flyer said, on one side, it gave some of the information about the proposal, the measure. On the other side, it had more information on the measure. But it also said on it, vote yes on Measure A. I have a question. I wonder where that was printed up. Do you think that those two gentlemen or whoever printed it up took it to Office Depot? Or was it possibly, and I'm not saying it was, but was it possibly printed up in the Board of Supervisors office with taxpayer ink and taxpayer paper to give out to people to influence them on a vote one way or the other? It's sort of like the guy stole a candy bar if this happened. A guy stole a candy bar, and then when he gets older, he's going to steal your car. Here's the deal. Are they using taxpayer money? Just a question. I'm not pointing the finger, but are they using taxpayer money to influence a vote? You know, and as Red said and Nick said, the forensic audit that would be coming out, like Red said, and I agree, we need more jail space. And I know that the underlining tongue-in-cheek position of that is so true. But, folks, if this doesn't really piss you off that they're actually even putting this thing on, understanding that we may not get any kind of structure or anything for around 2 years, we may not get the money that they're asking for, and on top of that, the administration fee. Mm-hmm. And the last thing I want to bring up is that in this particular measure, it states that anything to be changed as far as this tax, whether it be deleted, whether it be increased, whether it be decreased, this particular tax will require 4 out of 5 Board of Supervisors to vote on it, 4 of 5. Not the 3 of 5 normal quorum, but 4 of 5. That is amazing to me. And when I asked Mr. Morgan about this, he said, well, I wanted it to be 5 out of 5. I'm saying this is really, there is other things that we have on these radio programs during the course of the week. Nothing is more important than this right now.
Oh, Terry, they're going to cut us off. I'm sorry, but you can hang the line, but they're going to cut us off. We're at the top of the hour. Please stay tuned for the second half of Sovereign Minds. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
Retaliates for the targeted killing last week of the head of the elite CUDS force. The series of tweets came Saturday night as the White House passed to Congress a formal notification under the War Powers Act of the drone strike on General Qassem Soleimani. The notification is classified. It's not known if a public version will be forthcoming. Manufacturing levels fell in December.
The Institute for Supply Management says America's manufacturing sector declined in December to the lowest level in more than a decade. But industry observers say other components of that index, including demand and prices, have bottomed out, and the worst may be behind us.
Correspondent Keith Peters. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration is investigating the crash of a speeding Tesla that killed two people in an L.A. suburb.
Agency spokesman Sean Rushton wouldn't say whether the Tesla Model S was on autopilot when it crashed on December 29th in Gardena. That system is designed to automatically change lanes and keep a safe distance from other vehicles. Police say the black Tesla had left the freeway and was moving at a high rate of speed when it ran a red light and slammed into a Honda Civic at an intersection. A man and woman in the Civic died at the scene.
Correspondent Jeremy House. Another Tesla crashed and killed a woman last weekend in Indiana. It happened on Interstate 70 in Putnam County. Officials in Pennsylvania say five people died this morning and dozens were hospitalized in a crash on the Pennsylvania Turnpike. The Westmoreland County Coroner confirms the deaths in the early Sunday crash, saying 60 people at least were in the hospital with a variety of injuries. A tweet from the spokesman for the Turnpike says the crash involved a passenger bus, two tractor trailers, and many other cars. More on these stories at townhall.com.
What is it costing you in vet bills for that convenience of just pulling open a bag of
formulated, extruded, processed cereal bits that cost a ton of money anyways?
How do you feed your dog to derive not only energy, but a good coat, bright eyes, and a great attitude?
Come to Dynavite for help.
Dinovite .com.
I found his raw meat diet on Dynavite.com.
With just the raw meat and the eggs and the Dynavite and the Super Omega on top of it.
Try Super Omega fish oil.
Buy two, get one free.
Ground beef, white rice, eggs, including the shells, and the Dynavite supplement, and then the Lick-O-Chops.
Try Lick-O-Chops. Buy two, get one free.
It just balances out his body and his mind and his spirit.
Adding Dynavite to their diet has every single dog in my kennel looking better than they have ever looked.
Their skin is so much better now that they're on the raw diet. I don't even give them the kibble anymore.
Dinovite.com.
Mercedes-Benz wants to look at nearly three-quarter of a million cars.
The automaker wants to look at sunroofs that could potentially detach and fly off, causing road hazards. The cars include the Mercedes-Benz C-Class, E-Class, CLK class, and the CLS class, made between 2001 and 2011. All four vehicles come with an optional sunroof, and the bonding material in those sunroofs can deteriorate, resulting in the sunroof detaching from the car. Affected owners will be contacted on or after February 14th, and the sunroofs will be inspected and replaced, if necessary, free of charge. Ron DeRockster reporting.
The number of deaths in major air crashes around the globe fell by more than half in 2019, according to a report by an aviation consulting firm. The TO70 consultancy says that 257 people died in eight fatal crashes in 2019. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. The Houston Texans advance in the AFC playoffs by rallying past the Buffalo Bills.
The Houston Texans are headed to the divisional round of the NFL playoffs after Kyemi Fairbairn's 28-yard field goal sealed a 22-19 overtime win over the Buffalo Bills. Fairbairn's field goal was set up by Deshaun Watson breaking two tackles and completing a 34-yard pass to Tywan Jones as the Texans came back from a 16-0 second-half deficit. Watson completed 20 of 25 passes for 247 yards and a touchdown. He also ran for a score. J.J. Watt finished with a sack in his first game since October 27th. Adam Spillane, Houston.
Today is Sunday, January the 5th, and some famous people are celebrating a birthday, including former Vice President Walter Mondale, who's 92 years old today. Actor Robert Duvall is 89. Juan Carlos, the former King of Spain, 82. Former talk show host Charlie Rose, 78. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
We're back. Hey, you know, we've gone over most of the criticisms we have about Measure A.
Oh, no, there's a lot more to go over. I just found some more. They can increase the administration salary on anticipating how much revenue they collect in
there
this measure. Okay.
Yeah, total pie in the sky. And that's what, as you brought up the bonds, is basically this is authorizing the county to borrow money. That's what this is, to expend in any way that the board determines, as long as whatever's left over goes to these programs.
I thought that was against the law.
Not if you're the government, I guess.
Oh.
Well, you see, this tax goes on and on and on, and I've got a proposal I'd like to get to that has a sunset on a tax.
All right.
So I'm going to read you the letter I sent to the paper that hasn't published it. The closer I look at Measure A, the more I realize it is the epitome of the government creating a problem and then saying, give us more money and we'll fix it. We're told the jail is full. To book more criminals, we have to release a criminal. But when a larger jail is suggested, it's no, stop. Every department needs money. Really? I would have thought less criminals on the street, they could downsize their departments. Take probation. Tracy Neal was on Carl Bott's show here a week and a half ago. Take probation, for example, where the majority of the AB 109 money is spent. Tracy Neal said her staff of 120 people supervised 2,200 offenders, 50% of which will reoffend. If just that 50% of 2,200 is 1,100 people, if just 500 of them are locked up instead of released, we would fill up an additional 500-bed jail. I mean, on the spot. Maybe we should shoot for a 1,000-bed jail. Perhaps when our jail is big enough to house all our deserving offenders, the staffing of our law enforcement will be sufficient. I wonder how many crimes would have occurred by holding criminals instead of booking and releasing them numerous times. I wonder what it costs to process a defendant time after time, only to have the charges dropped later in a plea bargain. And that's been going on for 25 years that I know of plea bargains. Measure A wants to detox and rehab offenders, build a work camp, a navigation center to direct them to services. I want justice served in the form of a completed jail sentence and restitution, when possible, and then offer those services when they're requested by the addict, the criminal. Not court-ordered. Court-ordered rehab doesn't work. I propose Measure A be taken off the ballot in March and replaced with a new measure to be voted on in November, asking for a 1 cent countywide sales tax to build a new jail and staff it, with an additional $1 million per year going to the district attorney's office for prosecution. That's all the money can be spent on. The new measure should have a sunset clause of 10 years. You know, that's if it's $31 million a year, that's $310 million. That sunset clause should be at the discretion of the voters, not the supervisors. You know, in 10 years, maybe you want to finance some more. You want to give them some more money for other services like police. Maybe we'll need it. Maybe we don't. But the thing is about this, with it just going to a new jail and staffing the new jail, there is no old money going there now. That's all the money could go for. They couldn't jerk any money away because there's none being sent there now. That's the beauty of it, in my opinion. Why would we want a multi-story jail, that's what they're talking about, when we could build a one-story jail for less than half the price elsewhere? Here's the thought. The city of Redding could, and they should, offer the largest lot at Stillwater Business Park for free. The infrastructure is already there. You remember 2 or 3 years ago, they couldn't give a lot away out there, and we've paid for it. The taxpayers have paid for it. Just because it's the city of Reading, you know, all the Shasta County taxpayers are shopping in Reading. That's not just the city's tax money. Measure A is the supervisors telling you how your money is going to be spent. $31 million per year with no end in sight.
But, see, that's the thing that people need to be clear on, the way that this is written. It's not $31 million a year. They have the ability with this to borrow and release bonds. There's no upper limit. There's no cap on how much they can borrow, just the 1% that they're going to collect to pay back the bonds. This is a license to take as much money as they want, when they want, against future revenue.
Here's the important paragraph, what you just said. Measure A is the supervisors telling you how your money is going to be spent with no end in sight. The measure I propose is you, the taxpayer, telling the supervisors how you want your money spent, with an end in 10 years to be voted on if we want to continue it or not. You know, you can make your voice heard by emailing the supervisors and saying, take this, don't put this on the ballot, we don't want it. Shasta County BOS, that stands for Board of Supervisors, email Shasta County BOS at co.shasta.ca.us. And you can call them, 225-5557.
224.
No, I was wrong. It's 225.
Oh, is it?
Okay. Yeah, that was my mistake.
All right. I'm sorry, but the print was 224.
But, you know, the fact of the matter is, if you don't make your voice heard, they think you're good with what's going on. And I want
to. While you're on that, I want people to know I did email all the Board of Supervisors about the program today, and about, we had concerns about Measure A, and this was their opportunity to engage with us on this. And I heard back from, you want to guess how many?
No.
Zero. Not one of them got a hold of me in regards to this Measure A.
Ashley, can we queue up one? This is how undecided they are on what they're going to give us for our money. Go ahead.
Absolutely. I think the vast majority still can be bookable, but I would be happy.
And I think that would be important, to be able to say that as well.
Absolutely.
Great. Thank you.
Here we go.
Thank you.
Any other questions? I have a couple. To either one of the committee members, I'm looking for a little more clarification on your investment area that you talked about here. You said a target of 500 jail beds, including the transitional facility as well as an inmate work group. So are you kind of like, I'm just looking for a clarification, are you looking like for a 500-bed jail, or are you looking for maybe more jail capacity but maybe, 200 people in a work camp and those kind of things?
Yeah, I'm looking for more broad-based capacity. So if you look at a work camp, if you look at a transitional rehabilitation facility, if you look at courtrooms 1 and 2, if you looked at bringing back the tower proposal that had been brought out before, so it's going to be a culmination of, 200 beds here, 60 beds here, 100 beds here. So, yeah, I am certainly in my mindset, and I'll speak for Steve on this as well, because we talked about it. Neither of us was thinking in terms of one large facility. We were thinking about using all the different areas that we could to have jail space.
Because I know we did a jail bed study, I believe, last year, and it showed that in 2019, we should have, at the high end, was 518 beds. We currently sit at 483 and probably put at least 40 or so in out-of-county beds, so we're close to that. So we get to that 518 or 19 beds today. So, and then, as you just mentioned, with courtroom 1 and 2, probably adding 60 more beds or more, clearly gets us over our future projection of what is needed. And they're saying, so I'm a little bit concerned that we don't build a 300 or 400-bed jail facility that our study show would not be needed at this point. And then it also brings up the point of, before I leave that, but I do really like the idea of adding, in whatever capacity, some of the ways to hold people accountable, whether it be in work camps or farm camps the rehabilitation facility or something like that. So, but I just I want to make sure we don't build capacity that may not be needed. But also I'm a little bit worried, and I would look for the sheriff to, or the undersheriff to answer this. Maybe not today, maybe in the future. But
So, you know, that was Leonard Modi saying that we've got plenty of jail beds. Does anybody that's sane think that we have enough jail beds? I walked over to Tom Bazinko, the sheriff, after he said that, and I said, Tom, how many jail beds would you like? He said, well, 700 would be ideal. And here we've got Modi, 31 years in law enforcement, 11 years on the supervisors, not an accomplishment a bit that I can come up with, and he thinks we have enough jail beds, and crime is running rampant in Redding, California. And then let me bring to your attention that this is just a modgepodge of jail beds here and there. We've got all 60 at a navigation center. We're going to have a rehab facility. The old courthouse, that idea's been around forever. When
right.
they get with the new ones, they're going to rehab it. We need a jail. I emailed Joe Comente and asked him exactly what they were looking for, and here is his reply. Approximately 80 beds for a new work camp, 60 beds for transitional rehabilitation center, the old jail annex, 60 beds in remodel of when the courthouse opens. I'm also exploring options for 200 plus beds at the existing jail. You know, there's no definite number of beds that they're going to give us.
No.
If they're going to give us
any. Yeah.
Leonard thinks we got plenty.
And with that, Chris, hold the line. We will go to a break. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Hey guys, I'm Bob the Drop. Welcome to my podcast. Do you like water? If you do, you're going to love me. I'm pure and simple. I'm talking refreshing. Yeah. Spent 500 years in a glacier. The boy was that cold. I never was and never will be tap water. Nope. Bottled at the source, the base of Mount Shasta. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally the best. You can try me by calling 1-800-922-6227. Mount Shasta Spring Water.
I ain't nothing but a simple man. Call me a redneck, a reckon that I am, but this thing's going on, they're mad down to the core. I have to work like a dog to make ends meet. There's crooked politicians and crime in the street, and I'm mad.
You got this over my rock and roll.
Oh, don't go picking on Charlie.
I just keep it down.
That's an American.
But, yeah, this should be making people very mad. And the amount of window dressing and side dishes that they've tried to use to disguise the main course, at the core of this thing It is the authorization to borrow as much money as they want against future revenues that they're going to tax and be able to allocate any way they decide.
Yeah.
That's clearly. And the last thing that I wanted to hit on this that I think is very important, because as Terry was bringing up, not only are they asking for a 4/5 vote of the Board of Supervisors, but there's a very clever little section in here, 3.14.130, enjoining collection forbidden. No injunction or writ of mandate or other legal or equitable process shall issue from any suit, action, or proceeding in any court against the state or the county, or against any officer or the state or the county, to prevent or enjoin the collection under this ordinance. You can't even get a court injunction to stop this.
Okay, so they can rob us, and we can't even take them to court.
No.
After we've been robbed.
Nope. It's right
under
there.
This. So, with that, we do have Chris on the line. Are you there, Chris?
Yes, I am. Wonderful show. You've really, really opened the blinds on the windows. And I want to thank you for sending my blood pressure through the roof.
No, sorry about that. You're right with us, then.
I'm experiencing a level of anger and frustration and disgust that I haven't felt in a long time. And once again, looking from the outside, given what I've seen of our supervisors and our city leaders that we have here, who the hell wrote this thing? Because none of them are sophisticated enough to do this.
Oh, that's a good question. I'm not sure who.
I smell Larry Lee's.
Well, I'm advocating that you call and email your supervisors, tell them to take this off the table, and talk to some of us. And you sound like you'd be a good person to throw your two cents in on something we can live with. You know,
well, trust me, I've took the email address and I've already emailed them this morning. I plan on calling Monday morning.
Great.
And I'm going to call continuously. If I can run their phone bill up, whatever I got to do,
and Chris,
whatever.
Please let us know what kind of response you get from them. If you can call in like next Sunday or whatever and give us an update to how they're responding to you would be wonderful.
And the other thing is, given the leadership that we have here, who are they emboldened to or owned by? I mean, is there a group of hitmen out there who got pictures of their grandkids threatening them to write us this way?
I don't think that's it.
I mean, it doesn't need to be this complicated.
Well, you know, you talk about leadership, and we've got an election coming up. And take a look at the people that are running for supervisor. You know, I'm a big advocate of Dale Ball. And, he's been in the trenches. He created Shasta Social Services. He's been out and he's seen the criminals.
Yes, I have a lot of respect for the man. I've seen what he's done. But isn't he also running against Patrick Jones, too?
No.
Different district.
He's running against Leonard Modi.
Oh, boy, thank God we can get him.
Yeah, Patrick Jones is District 4, and I'm not sure.
Leonard Modi's number 2.
Yeah.
Modi has fed out of the public trough his entire life.
That's a pleasant way of putting it. I would have spiced it up with a little profanity, but you hit the nail on the head.
I mean, he's worse than a $2 prostitute.
I've never had one, Chris.
I'm going to leave that one alone.
I mean, come on.
I agree. And it's time. It's a perfect timing for people to make a change up there because we've got Dale Ball and we've got Patrick Jones running.
Well, we finally got rid of Keto.
Yes.
Les Baugh's next.
Well, he just got reelected. He's got 2 more years to go before he'll run again. But, you know, we're encouraging people to start paying attention to what's going on in local politics.
Yes.
And you know what? This is the only avenue we have in Pete Peter's show on Saturday to really get good information out.
Yeah, I listen to him every Saturday.
I do, too.
And the other thing is, and I don't want to be throwing stones, but there's a very limited audience to this station. Has this been mentioned to bring up to the competitor and have a show on their program?
No, but you might call them and suggest it.
I mean, the public is absolutely clueless. I did not know it was as intertwined and goofed up as it is.
Oh, it's a boondoggle.
It is. And
absolutely.
And like I said, clearly there isn't anyone up here sophisticated enough to write this. And I think they had a boilerplate program that they used out of Sacramento to write this.
Well, the fact that they'll be contracting with the California Tax Association Administration Board to oversee this, I wouldn't doubt they didn't
the
have a little help out of Sacramento.
If this does pass and there's a, you know, say there is a generous amount of money coming in, you can't convince me that there isn't a team in Sacramento that's going to sit here and look at this thing and see that extra money coming in, and they are going to cut funding in other areas that come from the state in order for us to use up this money for things that were never intended to be used for.
Oh, I have no doubt that they'll put their hands in the pie. That's what they do.
I can't tell you how frustrated I am.
I'd like to put one more, the little cherry to the cupcake on this whole
you
thing.
You want to really blow his blood pressure up,
do you? Section 3.14.210, increase of the appropriations limit. The appropriations limit of the county shall be increased by the amount of revenue anticipated to be collected
right.
by the county from the transactions and use tax to allow spending of the tax for any period allowed by law. So any time that they determine...
Anticipated revenues, not the actual revenue.
Right.
Anticipated.
Everything's
so they can
anticipated
say,
on this one.
We think we're going to make this much, so we're going to increase our borrowing by this much. It's a pass to steal.
And you guys are going to pay.
And you're going to pay for it.
So, let's go back to Kears now. Thanks, Chris.
Well, you're welcome, Jeff.
All right, thanks, Chris, for calling in. We appreciate it.
You know, Carl Bott says that he's told there's 300 people running around Reading that are causing all the problems, and we take care of these three, and it's just going to be rainbows
and
unicorns.
Are we talking about criminals?
Yes. People that are creating the problems.
There's a lot of people creating problems. Okay.
I haven't seen a Cleveland steamer like this since somebody tried to tell me that the hotel at Turtle Bay and a gift of prime real estate to Turtle Bay was going to save Reading.
That sounds familiar.
Well, I got to looking, and I found something that is called the broken window theory. And the broken window theory is in a community, you know, somebody throws a rock through a window and people just keep walking and the kids see they can get away with it. Pretty quick you have more windows broke and then you've got people smoking and drinking on the sidewalks. And pretty quick, you've got people shooting up, and you've got prostitution. And it just gets worse and worse and worse. Instead of nipping it in the bud, taking care of that broken window and letting people know that that's not appropriate.
But
when you just lock up the 300 troublemakers, you're not addressing the low-end kids that need to have their little butts whipped and straightened out instead of letting them progress up to where they're a problem to society. And a good example is that car chase they just had going down I-5 where a 14-year-old girl was driving. They stole the van. They were going 114. In, what was it, 18 minutes? They covered 25 miles or some damn thing. There were four of them in there. One was 11, and the other two were between 11 and 15. And you know what? These kids need to be straightened out now because – and they arrested the driver, the 14-year-old, and they sent the other three home to their parents.
Hmm.
Now, there needs to be consequences for these low ends.
Nick, there's a reason for that. In the state of California now, if you are under the age of 12, you can no longer be sent to juvenile hall.
Well, you know what? There was only one under the age of 12. That being said, you know, if we had plenty of jail beds, these people that are pooping out there in the bush or panhandling or the smaller low-end crimes that are misdemeanors, they can be held, you know, they can be arrested and taken and held until their arraignment. If they can't post bail, they can be held until they plead or whatever. But we don't have the capacity to do that.
Okay.
Well, and just
go ahead.
Quickly, to use your metaphor of the broken window, the issue that we're fundamentally facing is the person that is responsible to pay the people that deal with the people break the window also happen to own the glass factory.
Hmm.
And that's what it comes down to.
And we need some solutions. I'm sorry, but, you know, introducing taxes, I don't care what kind of tax it is usually not a good thing, no matter how it's written.
I feel we're in an emergency, a crime emergency.
And it's
all the way from San Diego to Portland, and everybody's doing the same thing, which is what this is. My solution is have a temporary tax that'll build 1,000 jail beds, well, 500 to 1,000 jail beds. And when a crime is committed, they're put in jail. They're not written a citation. They're put in jail and held accountable. And people might start behaving themselves, and the ones that come here won't want to be here.
What about moving some of the inmates out to another state? That's a solution, and putting more people in here and do a forensic audit and start tracking down how much money we do have or don't have in this county.
How long is that going to take?
You know, well, it's going to take a couple of years to build another jail, correct?
Another point, if we were to pass a one-cent jail tax strictly to build a jail, I would get a hold of Gary Howard. I was listening to him talk to Carl Bott about the casino they want to put in, and if they get the okay, they've got everything in place to start running. I would have my finances in place, and the minute that passed, I'd be start building. I'd have Redding bent over a barrel saying, yeah, you can have a lot out here at Stillwater. You know, there's a, I got on the internet, there are outfits that specialize in helping communities save money building jails, and they have jail plans already. We don't have to go to the most expensive architect in the city of Redding and build a tower that, you know, has to have a foundation that's unbelievable.
There's plenty of open space.
There's lots of open space.
Plenty of open space.
But with that, we do need to go to a break. If you want to call in, have a question or comment on this matter, give us a call, 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
The red, the white, the blue. The other one's got a rattlesnake with a simple statement made. Don't tread on me is what it says, and I'll take that to my grave. This is me. I'm proud to be American and strong in my belief.
SST Oil on Windham Lane in Reading, your source for specialty fuels and oils, including kerosene and low sulfur fuel oil. They feature Toyotomi heating systems and on-demand water heaters. Save $100 on a new Toyotomi home water heater and ask about special savings for residents affected by the car fire. Locally owned SST Oil, supporting the community through summer fires and winter snows. Stay warm and cozy with Toyotomi and SST Oil. 241-1167. 241-1167.
We all had friends and family that were affected by the car fire. Most of the cleanup is done now, and a lot of families are looking at rebuilding. If you relied on a well for your water system, it's important to assess the condition of your well and its capabilities to be able to meet the demands of new construction codes. I'm Ted Ogilvy with Diamond Core Drilling. We've been providing water well systems and pumps in Northern California since 1980. Let us help you with your rebuilding process. That's Diamond Core Drilling, 275-8162.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Some people say a man is made out of mud. A poor man's made out of muscle and blood. Muscle and blood and skin and bones. A mind that's weak and a back that's strong. You load 16 tons and what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.
And I don't owe my soul to anybody.
If you're not careful, if we're not careful, we're on that road.
Hey, you know, I'm not so sure that the city of Reading isn't deliberately trying to sabotage this
no,
tax.
No, say it's not so.
They want their own tax, and they want all the money. A friend of mine, Jerry from Happy Valley, called me, and he says, you know, I was in Reading the other day, and the city police have a brand new pickup. And he says, you know what was on back where the license plate should have been? It said Elk Grove. He says, they want us to pass a sales tax, and they don't even shop local.
Not surprising.
But anyway, a friend of
mine. That's been going on for a while.
Maria called me up and told me about this rate increase the city of Reading is proposing. And it is for water service, wastewater, and solid waste. And it amounts to a $20 a month raise in rates. Now, you might not think that's much, but that's $240 a year. And to a lot of people, that is a lot of money. But here is what is interesting. They're to hold a public hearing at least 45 days before public notification. If written protests are received representing a majority of the properties receiving the utility service, the proposed rate will not be imposed. If a sufficient number of the properties are not received, the rate increase will be approved by the city council. Although state law does not require the city of Reading to send notifications to and accepts written protests from the utility account holder in addition. So they're doing you a favor, telling you that they're going to raise your rates and you have the opportunity to send a protest. And here's a little deal at the bottom of the page that most people don't even read.
So if you protest, you have to send it in.
That's
if
right.
If you don't send it in, then you're counted as a yes vote. Or,
well, now.
It's not really a vote. I know.
A public hearing and majority protest is not an election. There are no yes or no votes. Didn't they just get in trouble for that because of a utility hike?
Didn't they do that before?
Oh, yeah, they sent something out that says if you send this in, it counts as a no vote. If you don't send it in, it counts as a yes vote. Most people just pay their bill and throw it away. But this protest, you've got to cut it out and send it in by February 4th. You've got to print your name. You've got to put the assessor's parcel number if you own multiple properties. You've got to do a separate one for each one, and you've got to send it in. And I'll wager that it passes. So people are going to say they want a tax. They don't even shop local, and now the county wants a tax.
Yeah.
I wanted
and they won't go any further than that. They'll never introduce another tax or, you know, do something with the funds they're not supposed to.
That's right.
And or anything like that.
We've got Peter. He is always interesting to talk to. What's shaking, Peter?
Good morning, Peter. Peter, you're on the air.
Hey,
mate, are you there?
Peter.
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning.
Great show, you guys. I can't talk about what I'm involved in, but listen, hey, Nick, I love you dearly, mate. The only problem I have with this new jail is that, and I know exactly what I'm talking about, son. My son's a lieutenant and, in one of the counties here in Northern California, and they are taking people from Shasta County here for $74 a day. Here in Reading, it costs $110 a day to feed these lowlifes, and in Mississippi, it's $53. So the problem here in Shasta County, the police are, and look, nothing, you know, I'm very pro-law enforcement, but the police here are the fourth or fifth highest paid in the state of California. Other unionized people here, and I love nurses, mate. I've had a lot to deal with all my hips and knees and everything. You know, they're the fourth or fifth highest paid in the nation. And then you got guys like Larry Lees. Nothing against him. I like Larry, but you know what? He's retired on 350, and the same with Tom. Tom, I like Tom. 350 grand. The guy I'm dealing with here in the Department of Works, the head guy, he's on a 40-hour week, he's on $403,000 a year. That's if he's paid 40 hours a week. You know, the whole thing is unsustainable. And my only point to you, look, I love you dearly. This is a great show. Building a new jail, we got to find a way. You know, the county people have only just started this year, or last year, 2019, they've only started paying 9% of their medical bills. You know, my wife and I are paying nearly $10,000 or $11,000 a year. So, you know, it's all unsustainable.
Well, sure it's unsustainable, but you know what? We've got a crime problem, and we've got to cure it. I'm all for shipping them out. I'd pass a tax to ship them out.
Most of these people don't belong here. They're not here.
Yeah, they're not here.
They're from out of state. All these people committing the crimes, they come here because Reading has become, if you Google Reading, Reading has become the West Coast rehab center for the West Coast.
There was a buddy of mine that lives up in Seattle that sent me a picture, and there was actually a flyer that was posted on a light pole in Seattle telling homeless people to travel to Redding, California, and what agencies to go to get assistance and help.
Listen, mate, I got a place in Florida, in North Carolina. In Florida, I was told by a teacher here at Shasta College, or someone who goes to the college there, and I know their parents, that if you're in Florida and you have a drug problem, are you recommended to go to Redding, California? So I checked it out. Yeah, there was some guy on the radio recently. You know, they were talking about whether your kid needs to be, your parents need to be told to send your kids to kindergarten. And he turned around and said, "There's 37 different agencies here, whether they're government or whatever else, to tell the parents to send their kids to kindergarten." Nobody had to tell me. Nobody had to tell my kids who have got kids.
Let me ask you, Peter. In Florida, they told the drug addicts to come to Redding, California. Is that because the drugs are cheaper?
For rehab.
Yeah, for your rehab facilities.
Rehab.
Because you can come into a program here, check in. That program will take its money for checking you in and then basically release you back out on the street without supervision or give a damn whether you show up again or not because they've got their money.
You know the people that should be taking care of these druggos? Their parents. Why should the bloody taxpayer? You know, I ran a homeless person's refuge in Australia. I got fired for running it at a profit. Because I challenged the bloody head guy handing out all this money. He said, we don't like your attitude, how to handle these people. And I handled it so well, that people didn't want to leave and they could only stay there for 3 months. And they were so peace and quiet, they didn't want to leave. And do you know how I did that, mate? I got caught in a situation there and, you could do this in Australia back then, mate. I put this guy through two French doors there and made him pay for it. And he was a lot younger than me and a big guy. He just got out of jail. I made them pay their way. You know the quickest way to cure I had a little bit to do with heroin addicts. You cannot save heroin addicts.
I agree with you.
You cannot save them. You stand about possibly, and this is Australian figures and American figures, you stand about a 1% chance of staying away from heroin. So my attitude is, do you know what? Put them in a room, give them a couple of pounds of heroin, and we'll pick up at 5 o'clock. If you walk out the door, you're cured. If you're not, sorry.
Well, you know that's not going to happen.
Oh, I know that, mate.
But
I
say lock them up and get them off the street.
I'm going to the extreme, but I go to the extreme because I'm so frustrated because there's so many stupid bloody people around, and what's happening is there's more of them than us now, and we can't afford them.
Yes. Okay, Peter, I'm with you.
God bless you, mate.
Thanks for calling in, Peter. We appreciate it.
Well, okay, so where do we go from here? Half of you are against a jail and you want to send them, and the other half wants to send them out of the place. We need to do something different, and this isn't the answer. We need to contract our supervisors and tell them to take this off the table and
I think
out.
We're all in agreement on that. The Measure A just needs to go away the way it's written.
You know, I've got an example here, and Terry was mistaken. Eric McGraney is our sheriff, not our soon-to-be sheriff, but it's only been 5 days. Undersheriff here, this is when he was there. We will find a way to slow recidivism. Measure A will help. Well, you know what, Sheriff? How about you just enforce the law and not worry about rehabbing people?
Well, I don't understand how giving the county a credit card is going to help recidivism.
Right.
What is that?
Hey, we've got...
Do we want to? We got to go to a break, and then we'll get to our caller. Waits, I believe, is the name. Nope, they hung up. If you want to call back, that would be great, but we have to go to a break. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
Celebrating 20 years in business, Five Star Bank is a community business bank serving small to medium-sized businesses and is a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Five Star Bank was founded in 1999 by a group of local entrepreneurs who wanted to create personalized banking services inspired by shared vision and goals. Today, Five Star Bank is among the top 5% of performing banks in the nation for banks of its size. Five Star Bank proudly serves farmers, ranchers, and growers in the agricultural community, commercial real estate developers and construction, those who lead nonprofits, and churches and entrepreneurs in emerging technology. Five Star Bank is also committed to small businesses through a robust SBA department. They understand that when it comes to business, timing is critical. Their sense of urgency and speed to serve are part of the foundation of their success. Visit fivestarbank.com and visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
I've got more. I've got a couple more things I want to bring to everybody's attention. Dale Ball is running for supervisor in District 2. He said you can call him and ask him what he stands for, what he's done, his phone number. He gave me permission to give his phone number. It is 351-1557. If you want to talk to Dale, you call 351-557. And he needs some place in French Gulch to put a sign up. If you've got a front yard that you think would be good, give him a call. Give him permission to come out there.
And I want to bring up something we were talking about during the break was the economy. You know, a lot of these problems might be able to be solved, quote unquote, if we were able to grow our economy here in Reading.
Jobs. It's what we need.
Because we all know how friendly Shasta County is for building business, correct?
And City of Reading.
And the City of Reading.
Especially the City of Reading.
So.
And this county and this city, unless you're one of the boys, is the most business-unfriendly place that there can be. and the most business unfriendly state.
Correct. Yeah, it's not just the county, it is the state, and it's something that needs to be addressed across the board, in my opinion.
Yeah, if you're not in the cocktail circle or in the golfing, you know, golfing buddies or something, you're not getting a business here.
Right.
Hey, we got Matt. Matt, what's shaking, homie? Are you there, Matt?
Yeah, I just want to chime in on the homeless issue.
Go for it.
Okay, so here's the thing. The number one thing driving homelessness in this state is government bureaucracy. They've imposed so many regulations on new buildings that fewer new buildings are being built. Rent's going up because of the cost of government bureaucracy. But they don't want to actually address that because that would interfere with the power of the state and the ability to rip us off in the name of this and that. And I'm tired of hearing about new taxes to address crime. The fact is this government has plenty of money to address these things. They're just choosing to piss it away on other things, mostly themselves at the upper levels. Why are we not utilizing the old annex on Breslauer? Why are those beds sitting empty? If we need places to put prisoners or people going to jail, why is that empty? The county already owns all that facility. I'm never going to give Shasta County government another dime in taxes because the fact is this government is so corrupt on the upper levels that if a legitimate accountability was had, the top-level managers would be looking at prison for what's really going on within our government. There's no need for more taxes. They need to just do their damn jobs instead of creating a situation where they trump up an excuse to exploit public ignorance to finance their pensions and their salaries and their lavish bureaucracy. Are you driving a brand-new car? I'm not. But our county employees are.
Well, we take awful good care of our drones, don't we?
They're going to collapse the system, and when they do, they're hoping for the useful idiots that are champion socialism to go along with giving this government more power. These people are driving our country to revolution because they don't want to get their boots off the back of the working class people. And if you want to actually legitimately address homeless, you got to address the root cause, and that's overbearing government ripping us off at every single level they can possibly get their greedy, corrupt little hands on.
Are you saying all the crime is committed by the homeless? I think there's
no. I'm saying the crime and the homelessness issue are direct result of the bureaucracy taxing the living dog snot out of the public. Hmm. It costs more and more and more to live here simply to line the pockets of the state, and most of this bureaucracy is nothing but obfuscation to hide what's really going on. If you take the time to look, why is it that DMV is the most incompetent, cumbersome bureaucracy that there exists?
I think it's because of the welfare-to-work program.
Well, no, it's because they create paperwork to justify expanding the bureaucracy, to create more paperwork, to justify the bureaucracy that could have been dealt with the actual issues for a tenth of the labor cost.
Okay.
So when you're trying to enslave the public to the bureaucratic establishment, it's not really relevant.
Okay, I want to play a clip here. Ashley, number two, this is going to show how they increase the bureaucracy. You ready to go, Ashley?
As a pilot.
Here we go.
So going back to the San Antonio model, which I've talked about numerous times, which I think a very effective model, has been proven to be successful, and I just want to remind folks that they, were going to build a new jail in San Antonio because of their homeless issue and all the crime issues that they had. And instead, they invested in this homeless resource center and a variety of other mental health services. And now they have 1,000 empty beds in their existing jail. They did not have to build a jail. So they've been very successful in their efforts.
Okay. What I want to point out is, as I've brought this up numerous times, that's Donnell Ewert. He's head of HHSC in Shasta County. That's a big wig. And a lot of policy is set on what he says. San Antonio has 1,000 empty jail beds and didn't have to build a jail. I called up the jail in San Antonio, and they laughed at me. They said they don't have 1,000 empty jail beds. I said, do you have 500? They said no. And, you know, this guy telling those things that aren't true is what builds a bureaucracy and points our money in the wrong direction. And, you know, he wasn't held accountable to that. I went to a city or a supervisor's meeting, the next one. I said, I called San Antonio and what he told you is not true. And they didn't even question him. No big deal. So no. What?
They don't care.
Can I chime in one more time and then I'll get off here?
Go ahead, Matt.
Okay, look. If you think a bureaucrat should face accountability, well, how dare you think your feudalistic overlords should actually be held accountable? I mean, these people are public servants in name only, period. End of story. If you think otherwise, you're smoking crack. Because if you look at what's been going on over the last two decades in this state, you can commit as many felonies as you want, so long as the bureaucracy is going to financially benefit or it's being used to expand the power of the state. They don't want to address that. San Antonio may not have empty beds, but Shasta County does. They're just not utilizing them because they want the excuse to line their pockets. You have a good day.
Hey, all right, thanks for calling in, Matt. We appreciate that.
So we're winding down and running out of time. You know, Linda had the bright idea that why couldn't we utilize Patrick Jones' idea of sending him out of town while we build a new jail? It doesn't have to be a big lull. If by chance we passed a one-cent tax strictly to build a jail, which I think, you know, in an emergency like we're sitting in, because things are not going to get better without jail beds, I think it's the option we should go with.
I think it's something to look at. I mean, they want us to pay more money and just keep throwing money after bad money. I'm sorry. How much money left over do we have that they're pissing away, so to speak, at the county level that could be used to go towards the homeless problem, go towards the crime problem?
Well, and I honestly believe that it's an attacking the symptom, not the actual problem. The problem is there needs to be something else. There needs to be an option to homelessness and drug use and drug abuse, and that is employment, gainful.
That's true too.
Employment, and you're not going to get it here.
Yeah,
let's ship them where the jobs are.
And with that, we've got a caller on the line. We've got Gene. Good morning, Gene.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
Good. What can we do for you?
All right. Well, I've lived here in Redding since 1949, and believe it or not, I just found this station last week.
Wow.
And you guys are a godsend. And somehow you have got to get involved so more people find your station. I only found it by flipping through the radio channels.
Well, what you need to do for us is to let other people know. Yeah, just start spreading it.
Oh, absolutely. But somehow the word needs to get out because you guys have a wonderful program there.
Well, we appreciate that.
Thank you.
Anyway,
keep up the good work. Reading needs a lot of help.
And thank you. We appreciate that. And like I say, it takes people like you and other people to push this out, this information out over the wavelength. You send the links to people. It doesn't matter where they are. You can send the link to anybody, anywhere, that can pick up this information. And just help us spread the word out there. That would be wonderful.
Just Google. Yeah, I'll
most certainly do it.
All right. Thank you.
You bet. Have a happy new year.
You too.
Hey, you know, there's another proposition coming up. They're wanting to increase our taxes. They're wanting to take away part of Proposition 13.
Oh, yes, property tax.
And they're labeling it as education and local government funding. You know, it's another slick label like they did with the gasoline tax, and the money doesn't go where it's supposed to do.
And never will.
It never has.
Never has.
Under the pretense of tax for a certain program or idea, it never has. It's never worked.
You know, the way taxes are now, I don't know how people can afford to stay in their houses.
They can. They're flooding the streets.
I know a guy whose house is paid off, and between taxes and insurance each year, he's spending, I think, $4,500.
If you can get insurance in some parts of the area here.
Yeah.
Thanks to the government, letting the fuel overload.
And with that, I think we're at the top of the hour.
Well, good
it's
show.
It's been great.
I enjoyed being here. Thank you very much.
Have to come back and see how we handle this Measure A, if we get any more information about it.
Flamethrower and a pest control guy?
So this has been Sovereign Minds. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM. Have a great week, everyone. I'll take
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.